that's because they've, you know, invested the time, the money, the energy to create a story where their logos speak for themselves. That's when you've created a brand, when you've created that reputation to where it precedes all of that, that explanation.
You're listening to The Solopreneur Hustle, a podcast that teaches you how to build a successful solo business while maintaining a balanced and fulfilling life. I'm your host, Nia Lewis, a business coach based in Charleston, South Carolina. The Solopreneur Hustle has a members-only Patreon community where you can connect with solopreneurs like yourself, chat with me about all things business, and get access to exclusive bonus episodes every single week. Visit patreon.com/thesolopreneurhustle or click the link below in the description for this episode to join our exclusive community for as little as $5 a month. You can also text business to 31996 to receive our monthly solopreneur newsletter that's jam-packed with business tips. All right, let's jump into this week's episode. Our solopreneur guest is Chase Hunter. Chase is a lead brand strategist at her company, The Winning Brand. Chase has helped hundreds of small business owners build their brands, and she specializes in helping entrepreneurs discover the core value of their businesses so they can build a media plan that will help them to create a global brand. In this conversation, Chase said it best when she shared with us that you know you've built a successful brand when people know what you do and who you are without you having to explain your business. So in this episode, Chase will give us her expert insight about how to build a successful brand and what we as solopreneurs should be doing to establish a strong brand identity online. I hope you guys enjoy this insightful conversation. Thank you for joining us here on the Solopreneur Hustle podcast today, Chase. I'm really excited to have you here. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So just to start us off here, can you tell us a little bit about you, your background, and what you do to help entrepreneurs?
Oh, wow. So I've been in the entrepreneurial space for around 20 years now. I've been doing multimedia, video production, film, for a while, and it kind of spewed into helping businesses and entrepreneurs with their branding and marketing and telling their story and helping everything kind of tie together. So as things kind of been evolving, you know, helping just people get their story out because they don't know how. They think sometimes it's just like, oh, I can just tell people what I do and, you know, a one-liner and they get it and like, no. So helping them explain that is pretty much what my company does.
Nice. Yeah. I think as entrepreneurs, we're always so focused on our products or our services and really what we do without understanding that there's a strategy to actually getting our story out there. It's not so easy as like, yeah, this is what I do. There are things that I'm sure our customers need to know about that we don't even think about.
Exactly. And that happens all the time.
Right. And so really what inspired you to pursue entrepreneurship and how did you kind of realize that helping entrepreneurs was, you know, what you could do to put your gifts to best use?
Well, you know what? It started really early for me. And I tell this story all the time and people are like, oh my God. So my mom and dad were always entrepreneurs. And my mom, she had a business and I was 7 and started helping her kind of streamline. And, you know, I used to tell her all the time, hey, I think you should do this and this would be better. And I think you can do more, make more money if you did this. And everything that I told her to do at 7, she started implementing it. So it kind of really carried over into everyone's business till, you know, she started telling all of her friends that were entrepreneurs, like, hey, I think you need to talk to her because she knows what to do, you know. And they would tell me their problem and, you know, what they were having at 7, 8, 9 years old. And I was telling them exactly what they should be doing. So it really started early for me. And, you know, it just kind of carried over, you know, like I literally have a heart for entrepreneurship. It's like in my DNA.
Wow, I see that. I mean, at such a young age, you had kind of an instinct for what businesses needed to do to make their business work. And that is just amazing. I mean, I've never heard anything like that. That's amazing. And it's definitely something that is deeply ingrained into who you are. So I'm so glad that you're pursuing this. It's your passion, and it's something that is a gift for sure.
Yeah, it's something I couldn't see myself doing anything else. You know, I would be devastated if I couldn't do this.
Right. I know exactly what you mean. I have the same passion for entrepreneurship as well. So you are a brand expert. You help small business owners create cohesive brands that help them to attract their ideal clients. So just so we're all on the same page, can you just really explain what a brand actually is? Because I think there's a lot of like confusion or maybe even some misconceptions out there surrounding what it means to have a brand, what it means to build a brand, and even just like on a basic level, what a brand is. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And you know, this is how I really break it down into layman's terms for entrepreneurs. You know, you don't need to understand, you can see the McDonald's sign or the Nike swoop or, you know, something major like that or Google, and you know exactly what it is that they do, right? That's because they've, you know, invested the time, the money, the energy to create a story where their logos speak for themselves. That's when you've created a brand, when you've created that reputation to where it precedes all of that explanation. You know, if you're a small business and you're still trying to explain what it is that you're doing, you're a business right now. You're still a business. And to evolve in a brand is where you work to put those things in place to where you are a recognizable statement piece and a staple that people can easily recognize without any explanation.
Wow, that's so true. I mean, I'm sure we can all relate to seeing logos or marketing materials for different businesses, and even just seeing their logo makes us feel something. You know, when we see the Nike swoosh, it makes us feel something. When we see the Adidas logo, for example, it makes us like think about something that we know represents that business. And I don't think you could have put that into more relatable terms.
Right. And, you know, and people overthink it all the time. It's just an overthought. And I'm like, do not overthink. You cannot. This is a process where you cannot overthink it.
Right. So what steps can we take to create our brand identity? And what elements do we kind of need to have in place to build our brand without making this something that's like overwhelming and something that we overthink?
I think what it is, one thing that brands can do and implement is to really break down your business and what it is that you want to accomplish and what result can you provide for your client. Every time we start to think about, you know, what we're really doing, we think about what we want, what we need. Right. And how can, oh, this is a great product. This is a great service. I'm going to do this. Right. Because we have a skill set that will, you know, complement that. But at the end of the day, it's like, what result? I have this service. What result, if I put this out, will my customer get? That they will tell someone and tell someone else and it keeps going. Right. And where people can see the result and it speaks volume for itself. So I don't think, I think a lot of entrepreneurs really don't think that far through. They don't think, you know, with the end in mind, like with the result, because that is really the end of mind. They're thinking for the right now and, you know, oh, okay, I got this talent, and they're basing it on the wrong thing. So if they kind of like start with the end in mind and kind of back up, like what result will the customer get from this? And then let me create something around that.
That is such an interesting analogy. I think, and I love what you said about how entrepreneurs think about what we want and what's important to us without really understanding what our customer actually wants. And this brings me back to a conversation I was having with a salon owner a few months ago, and she was having trouble promoting her new salon. She had done all these upgrades and she had a beautiful space there, and she was promoting her salon in a way that reflected everything that was important to her. All of this money she spent to renovate her salon when her customers didn't really care about the renovations. They cared about being able to come in and get their hair done. They cared about the rates for her services. Her customers cared about having a private space because she was doing these hair extension services for women that were experiencing hair loss, and they wanted it to be a private situation. And so, you know, she was promoting all the things that were important to her without promoting all the things that were important to her customer. Have you ever worked with any clients that had those same types of hurdles they were overcoming with promoting their businesses?
All the time. It happens all the time. And I do a lot of, you know, brand strategy sessions, and they always are running into the same problem. Like, I thought they wanted it. I really thought my customer wanted it. And I'm like, well, did you ask what was important to them? What they really wanted, instead of, aesthetically and cosmetically, it probably was perfect for you. And that probably was a good move, you thought. But do they really care about that? Or like you said, it's the service. What's the result that they're going to get? They want the privacy. They want the intimacy. They want, you know, the anonymity of, I'm going to feel safe when I walk out of here, and when I'm in here, that I'm not going to be exposed or embarrassed. So it's the experience that people are usually seeking.
Right. Yes. I think the experience is so important, and we overlook that sometimes. So how can we actually figure out what's important to our customer? Just some realistic steps we can take to get to the core of what our customer wants.
So I think just having that conversation and asking the question, what do you want? If I put this out there, and people are so scared to take polls and ask their audience, because they're like, well, are they going to think I don't know what I'm doing? Are they going to think I don't have anything to really offer? But that's not true. I would rather you guys take the time to ask the question and see if there's a need before you waste time putting something out there, time, effort, energy, money on something that's not going to work and that they don't even want, right? So really getting to the core of what they want, and then not asking everyone, because everyone is not your audience. And we always get fooled into that, right? So if we take our core people, our true audience that we know that we can produce results for, if we ask them what they really want, they will tell us. They will give us exactly what we need.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everyone is not our customer, and it's important to ask those important questions to the customers that really matter, which means really that we also have to have an idea of who our ideal customer really is when we're building our brand. You know, if we don't know who we're serving, then it may actually be difficult to get to the point where we can take these steps to create our brand identity.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in this conversation about brand development and building our brand, in doing some research about brand development, I'm sure many entrepreneurs will also come across the term messaging. Now, can you kind of explain what messaging is, what we do with messaging, how we use it, and how this plays into developing our brand?
Sure. And here's the thing, people also, it's that misconception. Messaging for me, in my opinion, what I tell my clients, and it seems to work best, you need to have a different message for every product and service that you offer, because you can't have the same generic thing, right? Because you're gonna, you know, people are gonna think that you didn't put the time, the effort, the energy into really, you know, thinking and putting any thought process into what goes into what you're doing. But it's like having every child, it's like a child. Each product and service is a child, right? You wouldn't treat your children the same, right? Everyone has their own personalities and their own thing. So in developing a message, you have to do the same for this. What product does this say? What is this saying? What is the meaning behind it? What's the why behind it? Why did you create this? Every product and service has its own story. And you relay that message to them as such, right? Like, I connected with you and, you know, hey, my backstory is I'm into entrepreneurship and I love entrepreneurship and strategy, because brand strategy has been my thing my entire life, right? You know, and starting with my mom, that connection. So that messaging is important for entrepreneurship and strategy. Now, it's something different in another area that I do, right? So everything when it comes to messaging needs its own, every product and service needs its own specific message that we hone into.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Now, in creating this messaging for every product and service that we promote or add to our business, should we have a core message that represents our business as a whole? Like, should there be a core value that we communicate through messaging that represents who we are?
I do. And, you know, that's the first thing, you know, when I look at people's bio, I want to know if I can connect with you and if I can even, if you're the right person I should be doing business with. So, and that's the first thing on social, in your bio, that people are looking at who you are, what you do, what problem do you solve? Right. So that should basically be the same. That should be a real, you know, this is who I am. This is who I serve. This is the result that you will get when you work with me. That simple core messaging should remain the same. Yes, you're going to tweak it with other things, but you need to have that core message where people can identify readily. If they're just scrolling through to stop the scroll, what are you going to do to stop the scroll, right? Like, what messaging do you need to have to stop them from scrolling?
Gotcha. I love that. Who you are, what you do, who you serve. So you're saying that should be in our bios. What other places should we include that type of messaging? Should it also be on our website, maybe in our email blasts? Where should this core message, who we are, what we do, who we serve, where should we be promoting this?
For sure. So it should definitely be on all your social media platforms. It should definitely be in Google, on your website, because that ties in with Google and your website. Like, everything ties in together, right? And we kind of miss that a lot. So your social media is directly tied into Google, how active you are, what you post, what you do. All of that is a reflection of your business. So if you want people to know who you are, what you do, who you serve, you need to put it everywhere, as in many places as you can. Even if the variation of it changes, you still need to have it in all places.
Gotcha. Yeah, I have my who I am, what I do, and what I serve in my bio on Instagram. And I agree with you for sure. I think it's something that just gives people a quick snapshot of whether or not you're the right person to connect with if they happen to be seeking the product or service that you offer. So I think it's very helpful to have that in social media, on your website, you know, et cetera.
For sure. It's imperative.
Yeah. So I love that we kind of started talking about social media here, because I think in building our brands and promoting our brands, many times social media becomes something overwhelming, you know, trying to figure out what types of content to post and how we can get our messages out there and how we should promote our services. So what types of content do you recommend that we share on social media? What are some creative content ideas if we're not really sure where to start or what to post about? I love your social media. I think it's vibrant. It represents your brand well, of course, because you're a brand strategist. And I just want to know how we can also create content like that that's engaging.
Well, thank you. So basically what I do is I pull a lot of information and I pull content from my product and services. So if I'm, you know, I'm heavy into, and I'm listening, I always have my ear to the street to what, you know, people are needing. So right now we're in a shift, you know, in our economy. So yes, you need to restructure your business and where you are. So brand strategy is my thing. So I'm pulling out, you know, content on and doing different videos. I literally, for the month of June, have something coming out, a piece of content coming out every day on different social media, be it YouTube. There's video brand building videos, there are product reviews. I have a newsletter on Thursday, blog on Wednesday. On the weekend, I kind of reserve that for you know, what's behind the scenes, what I'm working on. You know, I started a newscast this week. So there's literally whatever your product and your service is that you want to highlight or that you think that people need and you know, let me rephrase that, know that people need, but maybe they don't know that much about, highlight that in some type of way. Do a video about it. You know, I just did a video that's releasing in at the end of the week on YouTube on how to develop content. You know, we have people that's watching us every day coming in and out of our, on our social media. It's like your house. They're coming in, they're coming out. When was the last time you introduced yourself, right? When was the last time you told people and did a video like who you are and what it is that you do? And, you know, more people are prone to watch a video than read it, right? So how are you connecting with them and staying connected with your new audience and your new engagement? So there are so many ways that you can get creative. You can, you know, create freebies and things that you're working on, pulling out that service. Hey, you know, I have this awesome service, but what kind of checklist can I give them? Or what type of freebies can I give from this? What type of videos can I create from this? What kind of blog can I create from this? What kind of posts can I create for this on all of my social media that will let people know and showcase what it is that I do and what I have to offer? So the more people start to see you show up for them, they'll start to show up for you.
Right. And I noticed that, you know, you give out a lot of free content, even though, I mean, you offer these really amazing services for brand development, but I could go on your social media, on your podcast. You said you started a newscast, you have a YouTube mm-hmm. channel. I can get free content here from you. Do you think there's value in building our brands and getting our business and our messages out there? Is there value in offering something free first to attract clients?
Absolutely. Here's what I tell people all the time. You cannot be afraid to give away free content, because if you don't have any more content that's paid and high value, then, mm-hmm. you know, then that's the scary part. When my clients yeah. work with me, they're like, oh my God, you're just scratching the surface of the stuff that you give on social media and through these videos. But when mm-hmm. you work with me one-on-one, you're getting the jewels, the nuggets, and you're getting the exact, like we're getting to the core of your business. We're basically stripping your business apart and rebuilding it from the ground up. And so those things like that, that's something that you can't get in a 5-minute video. That's something that you can't get reading a 2-minute blog, right? So, and really understanding that, giving something away for free and people seeing a lot of value in it, because sometimes people have to see your content 7 to 12 times before they, you know, like, and trust you and start to buy from you before they decide to pull out their wallet. So by me giving away so much free content, and then I can put a higher ticket price on my services, because they're like, oh my God, if you're giving this away for free, I can only imagine when I work with you what I get.
Right. I think that's so true. Giving away things for free helps you build that know, like, trust. And then, mm-hmm. you know, maybe people need to be exposed to you, like you said, 2 or 3 times before they even feel comfortable giving you their money in exchange for a service. Now, for service-based businesses, we can think about different ways we can use our content, our value to create freebies that are really just scratching the surface. But what about product-based businesses that are having trouble coming up with creative content that's free, that's not their product, but something that kind of sucks their customers in, you know, engages their customers and gets them interested in what they do? What types of content can product-based services come up with here?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked me that. So I was working with a client and she was having that exact same problem. So here's where you have to build strong relationships and collaborations. So like I have a client that owns a boutique, and she's like, you know, I have a product. I need to get it out there. I need to serve, you know. So my thing was, why can't you connect with influencers? You got influencers that are always trying to promote. Send them, there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong. Send them samples, send them the first dibs on, you know, when you get a new shipment in, and let them do the work for you. right? Mm-hmm. And or send them samples. Like I have another client who she's in the hair care product business. So send the influencers samples, let them do videos for you, right? Like it all has to link back. So giving people away the samples, letting them talk about it, and then you're creating the content around that, because now you have people promoting for you. Now you have, you know, the testimonials coming in. Now you're getting it in the hands of other people. You just have to be a little bit more creative with products. But for me, to me, it's easier to work with products way more than it is with services, right? Because there are so many ways that you can get your products into the hands of other people and let them pretty much do the work for you and create the content for you. And it can be like these cohesive collaborations. And I think that's what people miss out on, you know, like jumping on, you know, if someone has, when I was a stylist, I used to do events and live events or, you know, things with people all the time in my same industry, and people did not understand it until it came together and they're like, oh my God, this is an awesome thing. You're doing a fashion show with someone that's a competitor. But why not? Because I just got eyeballs, new their customers to watch my brand now, right? So you have to think of it like that and how collaborations work, and borrowing someone else's audiences is always a good thing. It's always a good thing. We just don't utilize it enough.
Right. I love how you said borrowing other people's audiences, because that's really what it is. And it can be such a positive thing. And I think the influencer marketing, it has just become huge with the power of social media. And mm-hmm. I think word of mouth for product-based businesses spreads like wildfire, especially on social media, when people really, really love the product that you offer. You know, people have no trouble telling other people about how much they love products if they really believe in it. And it's something that solves a problem for them. So I think that is a really helpful concept that a lot of product-based business owners can utilize to help get their brand out there.
Absolutely. And they just have to, you know, be creative. Like tell people, tell them and tell them again. You know, like if you're doing even pop-up shops, right? Like there's no, or the CVS style thing, there's no rules to that. Like you can create your own possibilities, right? And I'm big on if someone doesn't give you a platform, create one, right? So create your own platform to sell your stuff. That's why, you know, I wanted to be on CNN. I couldn't wait for CNN to give me a platform. So I created a podcast and a newscast, right? To do that. So you have to create your own, you know, it's like what, build your own table and bring your chairs too. It's one of those type of things.
Exactly. And with the internet and social media, I think as entrepreneurs, we have the opportunity now to create our own table more than ever. I mean, celebrities have podcasts and, you know, regular entrepreneurs can have podcasts too. I mean, it kind of levels the playing field for a lot of people who thought they couldn't create opportunities in the past. So I love the digital age we're in right now in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just have to utilize it. It's there. It's there. We just have to use it.
Right. I agree. So can you give us some tips about brand-friendly content we should have on our website? Now, we've talked a lot about social media and a little bit about websites, about how who we are, what we do, and who we serve. Messaging should be on our websites. But when you're kind of doing brand audits for websites for your clients, what are you actually looking for?
So I'm looking at is it easy on the eye? And when I say easy on the eye, do I want to read it? Is it something engaging? Are the colors pulling me in? Is the story pulling me in? Or is it something that I'm getting bored with? Do you have enough content? Do you have too much content, you know, for the people that don't like to read? Do you have a mix of video, right? Do you have something that's, you know, where they can sign up and get more information? Do you have products that, you know, they can easily get to, buy, and be on and off in 2 or 3 minutes versus searching and digging for stuff? So the ease of the website, you know, how friendly it is. If it makes sense, are you telling a story? And if you are telling your story, is it cohesive with your brand? Does it seem like you're all over the place? Because it's easy to seem like we're all over the place because we're like, oh, I can do this, so I'm going to add it to the website. Or, oh, yeah, you probably can do it, but should you be doing it? Does it align with what you're doing right now? Because you don't want it to, and people are, they may not say it, but if you look like you're all over the place, they're not going to do business with you because confused minds don't buy. So they want to know that you do this specific thing. It's like you wouldn't go to a cardiologist if you had a foot problem, right? You just wouldn't do it. So you need to go to people who are trying to find the expert, and they want to know that you, they're dealing with the expert in that area and that you are that person. So by the first page, by the time they go to something else, they need to know, okay, is this the right person for the problem? Can they solve my problem? Okay, cool. If not, if you make it too complicated, they're going to leave. Period, point blank, they're going to leave.
Right. So how can we help our customers know exactly why they need us when they land on that homepage? What elements need to be there? What text needs to be there? And kind of like where, if we're thinking about, okay, our customer clicks our link on Google, they land on our homepage, where should they see why they need us?
That should be on your homepage, that in your testimonials. You know, everyone tries to put their testimonials at the end of their website or at the bottom in a footer. I've seen that as well. And they need to see that front and center. That needs to be, you need other people to vouch for you first, right? And the video testimonials are better than the written testimonials because people may or may not read. So you want, as soon as it, you know, your website comes up and they kind of get into it and they see who you are, what you do, and what you have to offer, they have you right under, you have someone vouching for you saying, yes, you know, I've worked, you know, with Nia, she's great, she's awesome, and this is what she did, and oh my God, she's an amazing person, right? So you need that immediate, people need to see that instant result. They need to be reassured that you're that person. So after you, you know, they say you on your website, they see what you can do and what you have to offer and why you're the right person, right under, I will put your testimonials for and have someone vouching for you for that.
I love what you said about let people vouch for you first, because I do think in terms of building know, like, trust, it's one thing to say you're the right person, but it's another thing for someone else to say it. You know, I think it has a different effect when someone else says, yeah, she is good at what she does, and I would recommend her. It's different when someone else vouches for you as opposed to you trying to convince your ideal customer that you're the right person.
Exactly. Because some people may be like, yeah, right. Okay. I got to see it. Right. But, and it takes longer. It takes longer to convey that. So why not just have someone automatically vouch for you and just go ahead and bypass that?
Exactly. And you also mentioned colors. So how many colors should we be incorporating in our website that represents our brand? I mean, I've seen websites that have a zillion colors and maybe that's too much. How many colors how many colors do you recommend?
No more than three. Absolutely. Okay. No more than three, because you need, you know, your staple color, that base color, and the color in between. So like my staple colors are black, gold foil, and white, right? You see a little bit of white, but you're definitely going to see the black and gold foil and with a dash of white in there. So it speaks like, hey, you know, it's professional. It's, you know, it's there. And, you know, I've had a lot of people say my brand is intimidating. I keep hearing that. And I'm like, but why? Well, why? Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Right. Because I want people to know that, no, I don't work with everyone. Right. And I can't work with everyone. So if you feel like, oh, wow, just by looking at my brand, like, wow, she looks expensive, then that's exactly what I'm trying to portray. So you want your brand to speak volumes for you before you have to, so that you don't even have to say a word, right? So you want that to happen.
Right. Yeah. And I think even for the website, it goes back to having a website that's professionally designed. You know, I mean, it's one thing to have a great product to offer, but when someone lands on your website and you have a cohesive color scheme and you've told an impressive brand story, but your website isn't user friendly. I mean, you've talked about all of these elements here that involve our customer being able to use our website with ease. They're not digging for things. That also comes down to having a professionally designed website. So oftentimes we think everything can be like a DIY situation, but sometimes it does help to get an expert opinion. So I just thought about that, you know, I mean, I think that's very important.
And it is, you know, sometimes we have to think about the other person, like, what do we want our customers to see? And I tell my clients, especially the very new entrepreneurs, you want to take the time and invest now so that you don't have to later, because rebrands suck. It's really bad. Yes. And if you think back when you're rebranding and you think back like, oh my God, if I just would have taken the time to just, and the money to just go ahead and just do it right the first time, then you would have saved yourself so much money, time, and a headache. Right. But we just want to get it done. We just want to get it done. We just want to get it quick. And I'm like, yeah. But when it comes to branding and being, you know, very specific and really targeting who you want, because this is your business, this is your life, and you should really, really care about what someone else is seeing. It's like coming into your house, right? Like someone's coming into your house. This is your digital real estate. Someone's coming to your home and looking at how you keep house, right? What does that house look like? So we have to really keep that in mind. Like, what people are really seeing, it matters.
That's so true. I agree 100%. Now, should we be thinking about our brand when we are pricing our products and services? Is that something that matters for the purposes of our brand identity?
It does. It really does, because you need to know where people fall in line at. And there are four tiers that I always, you know, say that you need to stay within when pricing your product. There's a good, better, best, and premium. Your product should always stay between those four. You have four tiers, nothing more. You don't want to confuse people. If you have three, that's awesome. But, you know, no more than four. But you want to have that good product where they, you know, they have a little money, but not enough money to really fully work with you. So that's your good product. And then, you know, you have something a little bit better than that and something a little bit better than that. But your premium, that's the cream of the crop. We're only a small elite group, you know, and your VIP group gets to work with you. But that's the, you know, creme de la creme of pricing. And you're right there. But you want to meet people where they are. And to meet them where they are in the pricing, you want to do the good, better, best, pretty much rim of in the tier of pricing.
Okay. Yeah. It kind of seems if you have those four different tiers, good, better, best, and premium, you kind of have something for a wide range of potential clients or customers. But even within that four tier, though, even within those four tiers, you're still not serving everyone, just different segments of your target audience. So I think that's a great way to approach pricing products and services, thinking about it in that way.
Yeah. And that way, you know, people will weed themselves out. Either they can get it or they can't. Right. And you will know exactly, but that's where you can say, hey, my prices are my prices and this is where I am. And you can feel good in that and you can rest in that because everyone is not your customer anyway.
Right. Now, in coming up with different products or services that fall in different tiers, does this give you an opportunity to create different streams of income within your business? Like, does this open you up to not just depending on one sole stream of income to make a living? You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone says you need multiple streams of income. Does this help you to build that out in entrepreneurship?
It absolutely does. Because say, for instance, you know, like I've created so many streams just based off of, you know, what I do. So I sell ads on my podcast. I sell sponsorship spaces on the newscast. I, you know, create ebooks I'm an author. So, you know, and I do strategy sessions. I have other services that I provide. I have, you know, things that I don't even have, like my premium stuff when it comes to media, multimedia production and marketing. That's another type of service. So you have ways, and when the more products and services that you have, the more that you can kind of start streamlining them and having additional income coming from each and every single thing that you do.
Cool. Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think it's important to maybe start out with one stream and then start building it out based on the value you begin mm-hmm. to acquire in the quest of like building your business. But yeah, I think that's a really great way to think about building out our businesses, starting with the tiers, creating different streams.
Yeah. And it's imperative when you start thinking about it, because especially products, sometimes their things are seasonal, right? So, and I think about, and I tell people all the time, what's your forecast? When this season comes and it may be a little bit slower, then what are you going to do? That may be the time where you have to start, you know, teaching or speaking or doing other things and shift from your product. So what other ways can we get creative to bring in those extra streams of income without it affecting our business if it's a slow season or we've hit a slow time in our business, but we can still keep that revenue going?
Wow. So yeah, shifting to use the same value we have in different ways to serve our customer in different ways. Yeah, that makes sense. And that's a really creative way, I think, to keep business going, especially in slow seasons. And I think this coronavirus pandemic, I know we're not talking about pandemic stuff here, but this has been an example of a time where it has become imperative to shift and come up with creative ways to continue to do business. So now more than ever, we're having to do that, and it's vital.
I know. It's so vital, because 10 of my clients were kind of like, you know, I deal with ministries and churches, and they were not ready for this shift. And I had been telling them for the last year and a half, you may want to start going digital. You may want to start, you know, doing lives, and you may want to switch your business model. And then now them having to be forced to go online is an adjustment. It's an adjustment for everyone, because they're like, whoa, wait a minute. I had more time. I didn't think it would come to this. I didn't think I had to do this. Now they're 100% solely dependent online. So I think we always have to be ready for the shift, the pivot, and the change. And can your business handle it? Even if, and I tell people all the time, I feel like even if you're a restaurant, you could have survived these times right now, because shifting and teaching people, yeah, hey, this is your favorite recipe. Let me teach you how to make it at home, right? And sell the recipe, right? Wow. So there's so many ways. Salons, stylists, let me show you how to do this at home. Let me show you how to get ready for a conference. Let me show you how to dress. Let me show you how to do basic makeup skills. So there's so many ways that people could have pivoted into this to make it seamless.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs just kind of miss the boat. They refuse mm-hmm. to go digital. And then once we're forced to go digital, I mean, it becomes something overwhelming. And yeah, it becomes something more difficult to do when you're under the stresses of having to do it. Which brings me to my next question here. What are some common brand development mistakes small business owners make? I mean, obviously, missing the boat, not, you know, staying ahead of the curve, that may be one. Mm-hmm. But what are some other brand development mistakes small business owners make that you've seen?
Doing business the old way. And when I say old way, thinking, you know, it's almost one of those things, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what you don't know until you don't know it, until someone brings it to your attention. So you have to always be in the mind frame of what's next, right? And thinking and having that foresight on 5 years from now, what do I want my business to look like? Where do I think this world is going to be? How can my business sustain another turn? Can I? So it's always thinking, and the strategy is not necessarily behind in the businesses. They're so right in the right now, like handling the right now day-to-day business to the future. It's like they're missing the mark because they're not being intentional about focusing on you know, what's the next thing? I want my business to be innovative. I'll need it to evolve. But what does that process look like? You know, do you have the team to even sustain that? Do you have the businesses to sustain that? Can you pivot into and shift into that rim? Like, are you ready to do that? So, and you have to really, that's when you go in and you've got that business and you're like, okay, what do I have? Do I have the people in place to make this happen? Can I make this happen? Do I have what I need right now to make this happen? So it's really about being real with yourself. And a lot of businesses, sometimes they can't do that because they're trying to run the business and be the business and do too many things. So instead of stepping back, it's almost like you've been inside of a bottle, in a Coke bottle, trying to read the label, right? You can't see it. So you have to remove yourself from the situation in order to see what's really going on in your business.
Wow. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes is, it's hard to see the frame when you're in the picture. And right. I think so many entrepreneurs experience that, being in the weeds, doing our business every day and having mm-hmm. goals. But then, you know, you mentioned we have to be real with ourselves. Okay. If this is our goal and this is where we want to be, what are we realistically doing to make sure that happens? And do we have necessary steps in place to make sure that this can be a reality? So I think those are important questions to ask ourselves, especially in the growth stage and in seasons like this where we're having to kind of shift. You know, can we still accomplish our goals with what we have right now? And if we can't, what steps do we need to take to make sure we can get there?
Exactly. And not just feel like it's a waste, because I've been reading and seeing on social that people are like, oh, okay, you know, 2020 is a waste. Let's throw the whole year away. I'm like, there's still time. Yeah. You still have 6 months left, right? So don't throw in the towel. Just kind of sit back. And if you can't do it, then that's why you get with a strategist and you get with someone that can pull out those ideas and see what ideas and money that you're leaving on the table and go get it.
Exactly. And sometimes it really just takes having a conversation with someone who can see it in a different way than you do to help you figure out that one thing you need to change to make everything better or to bring you the results you really want. Sometimes it just takes one tweak that you can't see because you're just so in the picture that you can't see the frame. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think having a strategist, having a coach in that way can help you see things that you would have never noticed or even thought about.
Exactly. But it can be done. Yeah. It's possible. If you're in business, then you got in business for a reason. So seek the help that you need. It's out there. Just get the help.
Right. So what are some commonly overlooked facets of our business where there are good opportunities for our brand to shine through, such as maybe like customer service or other ways that we don't realize that our brand can be a part of a conversation?
I think we don't take the opportunity to listen to the customers enough. And that would be, you know, customer service in a sense. I think we just don't listen to the needs in order to, again, go back to producing the results. And I think if we did a better job at that, then we really could produce the results if we were listening, and we could be the brand that shined, right? We could be the hero of the story. And everyone wants a hero. Everyone needs the hero. And we want to be the hero of the story. So why not change the narrative and provide exactly what the customer needs? So, and if that's better customer service and listening to them and being intentional and doing those little steps, then I think we should really do a better job at that. And then we could really, really shine if that happened.
I love that. Now, how can we listen to our customers? Like, should we be listening to them when they give us feedback? Should we be reading reviews? Should we be starting conversations? How can we actually take steps to make sure we can make sure our customers are being heard?
Great question. So here's a little sneaky thing that I do and I tell my customers to do. It's not just your customers talking, it's other customers talking too, right? So to hear what they are saying and read the reviews that they write on other businesses, right? If it's Google, Yelp, Amazon, wherever they leave reviews on different websites, what are they saying? You know, even on Facebook, what are they saying that they're missing? And I'm not talking about reading the ones that's, oh, this business is so great and blah, 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 or the 5-star reviews. I'm not even saying read the 1-star reviews. Read the 3-star reviews, the ones where people are real and they're telling, because they're unbiased. Those seem to be the really unbiased, like I'm giving my real honest opinion. And read what other people are saying. When you take those problems that they have and you find a solution and you create a result around that, then you are winning every single time. So it's not exactly what your customers are saying, just not about them, but listen and research and do the homework to see what other people are saying about other people so that you can show up for them.
That's such a great tip. Now, just to leave our audience here with the most important lessons you've learned about brand development and building your own brand and how brand development has played a role in your business's growth. What is the one most important thing you think small business owners need to know about brand identity and brand development?
Be crystal clear. Be crystal clear on what it is that you do, what it is that you're trying to say. And one of the things that even moved the dial for my business, because I always say even the best coaches have a coach, that is to always seek help, that always, you know, be in the mind of being a student, you know, as well as a teacher, but also always taking the time to learn. That's the best thing that you can do for, you know, business development. Always be in the mindset of learning and getting as much information from a coach and your customers as you can, because that's how you're going to build. Use those as bricks to build your brand.
I love that. If we get to a point where we think we're too good to educate ourselves, then I think that is the place where that's the moment where our business will begin to suffer. I think education, there's so much power in knowledge and education. And if we abandon that because we think we know it all, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. So I love that. I agree 100%. And there's just so much out there to learn. There's no way that we can ever feel like we know everything about everything. So great tip.
You're right. Thanks. And when it comes to, you're always learning. When it comes to this business thing changes so much, you will always be learning. Always.
Yes. Now, would you tell our audience here where we can find you after this episode airs?
Absolutely. So my name is Chase Hunter, and it's literally the winning brand across the board on all social media. So you type in, you know, the winning brand on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and we will definitely pop up. All of the brands underneath, even the Winning News and the Winning Brand podcast, everything will pop up under the Winning Brand.
Awesome. Perfect. And what can we do as a community to make sure we are supporting you and your goals in entrepreneurship across the board?
Awesome question. Thank you. So have a voice. You know, I have a platform where it's for entrepreneurs. You know, I created a newscast, you know, that's for entrepreneurs, by entrepreneurs. So that's for us to have that safe space and have those conversations to show up for each other and to co-brand each other and collaborate and to work together. So just showing up on those brands and on those platforms, having an opinion and helping your fellow entrepreneur, that would be the best thing.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today. You've provided, I mean, so much valuable insight that I think so many entrepreneurs will benefit from. So we really appreciate your time here.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Stay connected in between episodes by texting business to 31996. You'll receive our business tip of the week, and you'll also get our monthly solopreneur newsletter. We also have a private membership group that you can join to access group chats and bonus episodes every week. Visit patreon.com/thesolopreneurhustle or click the link below in the description for this episode to join our community. I hope you have a great week, and thank you for supporting the Solopreneur Hustle podcast.